Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
I was like, talking that you won't do. But other than that, it was just back and forth, the usual.
Overall, were you happy with the way things went down over there? Or did you feel caught off guard by the whole thing?
Yeah, well, I didn't get it all, nothing. I didn't know speeches, didn't know nothing. It's a completely different format, so look, whatever. I rolled up, and everyone had, I was like, before Dana went, you got a speech? He goes, yeah, I got a speech. I was like, no f***ing speech, but whatever. I just rolled up and started talking So, whatever. I had fun. That's the main thing, right? So,
did they cut your mic?
They cut me mic as well. Yeah, whatever. I don't give, they can do what they want, but they ain't keeping me from him in the ring, and that's it. August 26th, they can do nothing to stop me.
People are taking your training videos and putting them side by side with his, mm-hmm. and sort of mocking you and talking about your hand speed and things like that. What do you say to those people who say that you won't even land a punch?
He was on like a speed ball, different bag. I was on a proper heavy bag, the uppercut bag, the heavy, heavy bag that is. Look, people say this all the time. It's August 26th. Let's see what they say then.
Mm-hmm. And you say less than four? Is that the official prediction?
I believe so, yeah.
And last thing, what were the things that he was sort of being a stickler about? You mentioned, you know, the Mexican gloves.
I was like, Mexican, no, there's got to be 10 ounces. It can't be Mexican-made gloves. They can't be gloves made out of horse hair. And I'm like, I didn't even know there was a difference. So I spar with 6 ounces. So, and that's just sparring. We fight with four. And like I said, we're only wearing gloves a few years in their game. So I just don't, I'm just laughing at it all, whatever. Just have the checks ready, and I'm going to steam through your boy, take the bread, and take over this whole game as well.
Conor McGregor speaking with Ariel Helwani yesterday after the press conference. Ariel, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm. I think this was about as interesting an opening press conference as it could have been for a bunch of different reasons. One of which seems to be that there are 1,000 storylines coming out of it, and no one really knows what to make of how Mayweather behaved. And also, I saw somebody say that Mayweather was dialed up to 10 when he's normally a 7, and McGregor was dialed down to a 7 when he's normally a 10. What was your read on it?
Well, the great thing about, you know, a world tour like this is there's multiple stops. So if it was a one-off and that was it, then you would say, okay, you know, I kind of want more. But now it's like a 4-part series. Now I want to see how Conor responds. I think the big story was, A, Conor clearly wasn't prepared for the format. It's unlike how they do it in the UFC. And B, Floyd turned back the clock. He returned to the old pretty boy Floyd, the cocky, you know, sort of obnoxious, braggadocious Floyd Mayweather. The last couple of years, he hasn't really had a good foil where it was sort of necessary to play that role, but now he has that perfect foil. And so I am expecting Conor to come out swinging a lot more this time around. We're here in Toronto for stop number 2. And, of course, by the time we get to London, I think everyone will be in his favor. So I thought it was a nice little curveball to start things off.
What's the order? So it's obviously you're saying you're in Toronto. When is that press conference and when is the one in London? How does this actually play out now? How much longer will they be on this tour?
Okay, so yesterday was in Los Angeles. Today it's Toronto, Ontario, Canada. That'll be at 6 p.m. Eastern time, which I believe you guys are 5 hours ahead. So that would be 11 p.m. Ireland time. And then tomorrow it's Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center there in the early evening. And then Friday at, I believe, 7 p.m. your time will be the last stop in London at the SFP Arena.
And that's it done. That's all the pre-fight stuff done until we have the weigh-in 2 days or a day before the fight.
No, there will be a lot more. Typically in boxing, unlike the UFC, they'll hold sort of a gym day where the fighters will work out for the media and you know, in their own kind of gym. Like they won't go to, you know, like a gym that the promotion picks out. So, you know, Mayweather has his own gym in Las Vegas. He'll hold his day there. In the UFC, they'll have open workouts the week of the fight, but it's a little different in boxing. So they'll do that probably a couple of weeks before fight week. And then, you know, on the Tuesday of the fight, they have a thing called arrivals where they arrive at the hotel and there's kind of like a mini press conference scrum, if you will. So there'll be a lot more. Don't worry. There's a lot more to come in the next month and a half.
That was it was interesting. You were talking to McGregor about those training videos. He didn't seem in any way perturbed by the fact these videos have gone out there. He seemed kind of prepared to deal with that, because certainly as the point you made, people are putting those two videos side by side. Floyd Mayweather's hand speed is world class, as we know it is. Like, he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. And Conor McGregor just isn't one of the greatest fighters of all time because, well, boxing isn't his sport. So he seems to have taken that quite well and have been prepared for it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a theory that at least I've thought about whether or not Conor has been sort of putting out, you know, videos of him looking slower than he is just to throw people off. I don't know if that's true. But, yeah, I mean, Conor's a pro when it comes to this stuff. And he really is, you know, I thought it was really interesting to observe him. After the press conference, he's just having such a great time with all this. I mean, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but this is a guy who 4 years ago was, you know, collecting welfare checks. So there was a part of me that was looking at him, and he was like, I just can't believe this is all happening. And like I've said since this fight was announced, he's already won. Like, it's a victory that he got this done, that it says McGregor Sports and Entertainment on the step and the repeat, and how he got the UFC to allow this to happen. And so, you know, for him, I really think, like, the fight kind of starts now. You know, if he can, by the end of this, really get under Floyd's skin, he really, you know, he really has an advantage because we saw how that worked against Jose Aldo. But he's not going to get riled up about, you know, questions about his training or how he is in boxing. This is the greatest thing I could say about Conor is that he's not afraid to embarrass himself. You know, he walked on the court at Madison Square Garden in, you know, tights and took a shot and made it. And he's not a basketball player and wasn't afraid to, you know, shoot an air ball. So no one, you know, is going to say anything that's going to make him feel less about himself by putting videos out there. I was not surprised that he was prepared to answer that.
The question that you asked, or the question that came up there about the gloves, it's interesting that he said, I didn't even know that they could be made from different stuff. Like, is that part of Mayweather's shtick to try and get inside his head about, like, this is a sport that you don't actually know a lot of the stuff, that you don't have the experience and the 10,000 hours of practice and sparring and knowledge and information, and that stuff that I know, if you're Floyd and you bring to bear, and suddenly McGregor starts going, oh, actually, I didn't think about that kind of stuff and how important that might be.
No, I actually think Conor is the one who's playing this up, basically just reminding people, like, I'm going into your world. You know, I'm the one who is, you know, stripping away all of my weapons, and I'm going to go into your world, and I'm still going to beat you. You know, I thought it was really interesting when they faced off for the first time and they were just standing there. First of all, it was incredibly ballsy to just let them stand there face-to-face with no one around, and kudos to both of them for acting on their best behavior. But then, you know, a couple of seconds in, Conor started to move around, and he was sort of doing, like, you know, the capoeira stuff, and I feel like that's, you know, a reminder to Floyd that, look, I can knock your head off if I want to, but I'm going to play by your rules. Even, I don't know if you saw the video of Floyd Sr., Floyd Mayweather's dad, and Conor going back and forth at the press conference afterwards for the writers. That was just vintage Conor, and he was having such a great time with it, and mentioned to, you know, Floyd's dad that if he wants, he can just elbow him in the face and cut him open. So I think he's going to continue to remind them that he is the badder fighter, but, you know, just for the sake of getting this done and getting paid, play by their rules.
Ariel, I've got to ask you about something that you've been tweeting about as well. You've been prevented from working for Showtime for this press conference sweep, and you've said that the UFC specifically asked for you to be removed from that. What can you tell us about that, and why did that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously incredibly disappointing. I was approached shortly after the fight was announced about doing this press tour. I was going to be a fourth man, like a reporter in LA, and then in Toronto and New York, I was going to host it. And this was a massive opportunity just to be a part of it from the broadcast perspective, and perhaps it would lead to more things on Fight Week. I mean, to say that I was excited would be a massive understatement. And flew out from New York to LA, got there. I was there in the morning, and they asked to meet with me, and they essentially told me that, you know, Dana White said that under no, you know, uncertain terms, I cannot be a part of it. He would not budge. He made a big stink about it. And, you know, I think we've talked about the story last year with Dana and I, and I was sort of under the impression that cooler heads had prevailed. I don't really have much of a working relationship with him anymore, but very surprised that he would do something like this. You know, I mean, this to me was on a whole other level. This is a new opportunity for me. This is an opportunity to advance my career, make money for my family. Really a dream come true, and for him to do that was incredibly disappointing, but I will not relent. I'm still credentialed. I'm still going to keep doing my job, and to be honest, being in Canada, which is my home country, has reinvigorated me, and I'm not going to allow his pettiness to ruin this experience, because it's really such an honor to cover this world tour and eventually the fight. So very, very disappointed, but I've turned, you know, a new page, and I'm just going to focus on Toronto and New York tomorrow and have fun with this coverage.
It's pretty despicable behavior from an organization as big and powerful as the UFC. It's in keeping with their treatment of those fighters at the lower end of the tier. It's in keeping of their treatment of the cuts guys. You think back to Stitch and how they treated him and all that kind of stuff, where Reebok is the only stuff that anybody can wear, and the earning potential. Like, that's the UFC laid bare. But I wonder if there's actually any benefit to you now, and that the wider media beyond the UFC media understands how badly you've been treated. The boxing media presumably won't be happy about this. They've got some heavy hitters, legendary figures, who I guess are going to start asking questions about this. You would hope.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, and I'm not going to try to urge anyone to do that on my behalf. You know, I think that last year was a really big deal, because, like, they had actually banned me for life. I still have my credential here, but, you know, to take away a work opportunity, which, by the way, it's the second time that he has done this, because I used to work for Fox, and he demanded that Fox take me off their air as well, because he didn't like things that I was reporting on. And by the way, never inaccurate, never unfair, never below the belt. You know, I'm just talking about the day-to-day sport, nothing salacious or, you know, unethical. And so, you know, the word petty comes to mind. And this is a man who is worth hundreds of millions of dollars now. He is set for life. His kids are set for life. And, you know, he's trying to stop me from making a living. The thing about me is I don't back down from these situations. So, you know, if he thinks he's going to get rid of me this quickly, it's not going to happen. I'm going to continue to cover the sport the way I have. And, you know, I hope that one day we can repair the relationship and get back to how we were. And I hope that, you know, we can move past this. I understand that I'm a journalist, and I can't make this personal. He has made this personal. He has taken opportunities from me and my family, but I have to still cover the UFC and Dana White as fairly as possible, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Fair play, Ariel. Thanks for talking to us again here on Off the Ball.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.